Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome to you this Thursday and Merry Christmas Eve. One of the key principles Bishop Dag abides by is the belief that the master key to prosperity is seeking the kingdom of God first, and it is he that will add blessings to your life that maketh rich and add no sorrow. In our teaching today, Bishop Dag will outline four steps that you must take if you want to prosper as a Christian. Discover how God alone will bless and establish you, and the higher heights of prosperity that await you as you receive today's anointed word.
Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we pray? Shall we close our eyes and share a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you as we come before your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, as we approach you, we know that we will not leave this place the same. We ask you to speak to our hearts. We ask you to teach us. We ask you to lead us. We ask that your will be done in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And if you are a Christian and you brought your Bible, turn with me to James chapter 5. Hallelujah. Well, you can hear the sound of the J Church feeling happy. Wonderful Jesus. Are you glad you are in church a week after Easter? Yes. I can see that many of the Easter goers are not here today. It's wonderful. Well, James chapter 5. And I want to continue this very important series about the Christian merrymaker. And is Julian here? Julian, are you here somewhere? Right. Before I begin on that, I just want to make one or two announcements. Last week, we took some pledges and did some fundraising for our chairs. How many pledged? You haven't paid yet. Show me your right hand, please, and give me a wave offering. All right. Now, last week, I told you I was going to tell you how much we had. We had 11,511,000 CDs for chairs. All right. That's excluding the one you are going to bring. And that's what we have physically. Now, we need 30 million CDs to get 2,000 chairs. Is that not right, Olivia? So we don't even have 1,000, because 1,000 is 15 million. All right? So how many are going to bring your money, your pledge? Oh, your hands are very weak today. Do you need some Malta Guinness to help you? How many are going to bring your money for the chairs? All right? All right. Those of you who can give 1 million, 1.5 million, 2 million, 500,000, do it. Because there are many people who can't even buy a chair or a leg of a chair. So when you pay above a certain, because God has blessed you, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. It's expected. All right? So some people have not been given much, but some people have been given much. So much is required or expected from them. Okay? So please make sure you do that. Now, today, we are studying, and also our crusade is coming on at Kwame Nkrumah Circle. The dates I said were the 20th. We are trying to change that date because we don't have the chairs yet, and we shift a week or two later. Can I have an amen? Can I have a better amen, please? Amen. All right, so please stand by for that, and that crusade is going to be for 5 days, Tuesday to Friday. And all of us must be part of it at Circle. We're going to witness to prostitutes, witness to anybody who's passing through that area. An evangelist is going to preach the word of God. Amen. So please stand by for that crusade. Everybody is coming. All the branches are coming. Pastor Imaris, please take note of that. All branches, everybody, we are all going to Circle to evangelize for 1 week. Is it too much to ask of, for you, for in a year, we all go together, win a soul? Amen. How many are going to be part of that? Very good. You are blessed. Okay. If you don't want to be part of such things, perhaps this is not the type of church you want to be in, because we like evangelism here. Amen. And we want to evangelize, to win souls. We are not satisfied because the church is full or looks full. That is a deception. There are many things to be done, many souls to be won. So don't be deceived. There are 100 times more people who are not in church than those who are in church this morning. And we've got to reach out to them. You know, sometimes when you see things the way God sees them, your attitude will change. We sometimes see things in another way. So we don't know how God's heart is bleeding for the lost souls who are going to hell. You know, many people are suffering in this life. They keep on saying that the economy is getting better and so on, but people are still suffering. And even where the economy is really better or really good, people still suffer and are lost and are depressed, unhappy, and pitiful. And it is our duty to reach out to people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Apart from knowing Jesus Christ, there is no other important thing in this world. There's nothing that is as important as knowing Christ in this world. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Because if you have everything in this world, you understand, you are using what you have. Let's say you have a nice car or you have a nice sound system. You are using it for a while. After a while, you will expire. And the things will also expire.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? So we human beings are very pitiful in the sight of God. We are so happy about little things which are of no value, which cannot last. We run after money. We run after things, gaining, trying to acquire, trying to achieve things which in the long run don't amount to much. And that's why God tries to give us his perspective. And that is why the most important thing for us to do is to allow God to use us to win the lost in this world. Amen. And you must begin to have a heart to win the lost for Jesus Christ. You must begin to desire to do that, because that is the supreme task of the church. And it's what the Bible calls the high calling. It's a higher calling than any other calling to do anything else in this world. And the instructions that God gives us as Christians, things that God tells us to do as believers, cannot easily be done unless we are actually winning souls for him. For instance, if the Bible tells you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, and you just live your life trying not to do this, trying not to do this, trying not to do this, you will fail. But if you bury yourself in God's work, you won't have the time or the energy to get involved in certain things which you are struggling over. Are you listening to me today? And so you find yourself advancing as a Christian when you start witnessing, when you start telling people about Jesus Christ, when you start bringing them to church, when you start following people up to the Lord. You will also discover when you start doing God's work that God blesses you financially, and he blesses you in other ways, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So you will also discover that as you start doing these things, that things which people are struggling for and scrambling for will come to you naturally. Are you listening to me this morning?
Yes.
So I want you to know that this great task that God has given to us is a task which is accompanied and associated with many great blessings.
Right.
So it is to your advantage, hallelujah, to get involved in God's work so that we can win the lost to Jesus Christ. People this morning are drunk. They are drunk and some are having hangovers. Some have just received HIV injections last night. People are dying. People are depressed. There are many people living in big houses who are sad, who are confused, who are unhappy, who have discovered that their husbands are being unfaithful. There are women who are discovering that marriage is not what they thought it was. There are people who are discovering all sorts of things. And they need an answer. What is the essence of life? I can give you a list of multi-millionaires who committed suicide because they couldn't find a reason for life. They couldn't find a good reason to exist anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, don't run after the bread that does not satisfy, but come and drink of the waters, that when you drink, you will thirst no more. And that is the living water that we have to offer. That is what we have to offer the world. That is what the church exists for. The church does not exist primarily to have weddings or your outdoorings or your baby dedication. The church is an embassy of God to win people to Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That is why we exist. Are you listening to me this morning? And so I am speaking to you today that it is to your advantage to allow God to use you to win souls. The most important thing that is going to happen is not your wedding. The most important event that is going to happen is not your shop or your work or your school or you graduating. The most important thing that you must find yourself doing is to do God's work.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, yesterday when I listened to the news and I heard Boris Yeltsin warning America and Europe that if they don't stop bombing Kosovo, they are risking a European war or a world war. I want you to go and get the tapes I preached at the beginning of the year. 21 reasons why you should not be left behind. Because you see, one day suddenly, all this is going to be over. Suddenly it will happen. And you see, the First World War started from that place. Second World War started from that place. Third World War, which will definitely come. Because if you can remember when I was giving you the reasons, you have a white horse, a pale horse, a horse rider coming, and there's death followed by famine, followed by death and so on. And all these things, you realize that these things are going to happen. They are real. So you may think you are going to graduate from school, but you may never graduate.
Yeah.
You may think you're going to have a child, but the child, you may not. You may be pregnant and you'll be raptured. And Jesus may come and you may be left behind. That one will be some way, I'm telling you. So please take heed. This is part of the message this morning. Hallelujah. In fact, this is the message this morning. God is telling us, let's rise up and let's do God's work. Soon we'll move from this place. One day, I believe, I'll announce to you when we are going to move. But one day we are going to move from this place. This place has served us well. But we are yet, you see, it's true, when we meet once, we cannot fit here. But there is still more room at the cross for more souls.
Yeah.
And although millions have come, there is still room for one more and more and more and more and more.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so it is not good enough for the church to become happy with what it has and say, oh, we are okay, we are nice. We have a nice church, we have nice this, and so on. No, it's up to us to rise up and do God's work. And let me tell you, God's work was never intended for just the pastors. Pastors are too few.
Yeah.
If you were God, you wouldn't use only pastors. If you were God, you would use ordinary people who are in factories, who work in offices, who work at different places, who meet different people. How many people do I meet? How many people do you meet? God wants to use you. Amen. Oh, I said God wants to use you this morning. He wants to use you personally. A woman, lady, sister, brother, he wants to use you. So allow him to use you. And you will find out that it's so blessed to allow the Lord to use you as a vessel. And on that day, when the role is called up yonder, and when they are giving medals, not gold medal which fades, not silver medal which is not real silver, not, a bouquet of flowers which will fade away. I've been given a bouquet of flowers before. One day somebody gave me a huge, beautiful bouquet of flowers. I didn't even know what to do with it. Another time somebody gave me a big bouquet of flowers. I said, what do I do with all these flowers? What do I do with them? You just put them down, and then after a short while, they decay. But when we get to heaven, we are going to be given things that don't decay, things that don't fade, things that will be there for eternity until eternity. Don't go to heaven as a poor man. If you are poor on earth, make sure when you get to heaven, you are loaded with souls and with various benefits, because heaven is not by your family name. Amen. Heaven is not by who you know. Heaven is not by any of those educational. Heaven is by you arriving. Are you not glad about that? You know, this world is divided into clans, into color, into families, into names, tribes. But heaven, thank God. Thank God. Whether you are this or that, you are welcome and you'll be mega. I see you being mega in heaven. Yeah. It's not just by saying amen. Oh. It's not just by saying amen. There are some things you cannot raise your hands and catch. You have to do them practically. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. How to be a merrymaker. Now, James chapter 5 verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. All right? Now, the Bible is trying to tell us what to do in every circumstance of our lives. Praise the Lord. Did you know that God wants to come into every department of your life? There are many people who think that God and Christianity is reserved for Sundays. I'm sure that the radio stations think so. That is why they play Christian music on Sundays, Sunday mornings. They play preaching on Sundays, and they do a lot of Christian things on Sundays. How many have noticed that they really do that on Sundays? But there's nothing on Mondays. Tony, do you have anything on Mondays on your radio? There's nothing on Tuesdays. There's nothing on Wednesdays. There's nothing on Thursdays. Is that not so? Because they think that Christianity is something that is reserved to be practiced on Sundays, and especially in the mornings. But I want you to understand that Christianity is not something that is just to be practiced on Sundays. It is something that is supposed to affect your whole life. Can I have an amen? Amen. If it doesn't affect your whole life, then it has not affected you yet. When you are born again, the Bible says when a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when you become a born-again Christian, all things are supposed to be new. Not a few things. Not most things. Not the spiritual things. All things. All means... What does all mean? All right. So all means all. So if you are a Christian, you are expected to allow God to affect all aspects of your life. Now, God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. Jesus went to places where he was invited. Jesus didn't just arrive for lunch. There are some people, you know, when they come, they have come for lunch. Jesus didn't just come for lunch. Jesus didn't just go to places because he was hungry. He went to places where he was invited. Are you listening to me? And so God will not come into certain areas of your life unless you invite him. God wants to come into every aspect of your life. He wants to affect your spiritual life first. Then he wants to affect your financial life. He wants to give you wisdom for your financial life, because God will really help you in your finances if you allow Him. God wants to help you in your marriage. That's right. He wants to help you in your relationships. He wants to come into your social life. He wants to come into every aspect of your life. But He will only come by invitation. So if you, are you listening to me? Welcome Jesus into your life. He comes to sit in the sitting room or the hall. Is that what you call it? The hall? Huh? Hall and chamber. Is that not so? Right. He comes to sit in the hall, the sitting room, the living room, whatever you call it. Okay? And that's where He sits. And He sits there nicely. Then if you ask Him and say, Lord, I want you to come into this other room. I have 17 rooms in my house. In Nigeria, there are people who have 17 rooms and 16 toilet and bathrooms. I heard one person saying he has 17 bedrooms and 17 toilet and bathrooms. Anyway, so if you have 17 rooms, Jesus will come into the rooms that you invite Him to. So when you say, Lord Jesus, come into room one, which is my financial life, He will come. And then when He enters, He will bring order. If you invite Him into room two, which is your relationships with other people, your character, perhaps you are impatient, perhaps you are wicked, perhaps you are not gentle, perhaps you are rude. If you ask Him to come to room two, which involves your personality or your character, He will come. Then room three, which involves your relationship with the opposite sex, and your relationship, you are a man, with girls, or a relationship with women, and you want Him to come in, the Lord will say, okay, if you want me to come, I will come. Then He comes to room three, and He begins to affect that part of your life. And then if you open, say, room four, Lord, will you come into my marriage? Come into my marriage. Then He will also come in to your marriage, and then He will affect your marriage. And as you keep opening the doors, He will come. But if you invite Him only to sit in the sitting room and only room one, which is perhaps, let's say, your finances, then He will be there and He'll be at your finances. And you'll be a Christian. And when you look at these certain aspects of your life, there'll be no sign at all that there is God in your life in those areas. They'll say you are born again, but you are as wicked as you have ever been. They say you are born again, but you are as impatient as you've ever been. They say you are born again, but you are such a bad husband as you've ever been. They say, yeah, you are born again, but you are such a bad wife, wicked to your husband when you are at home in private. They will say that, although you are born again, they say, yeah, you are born again, but you are stingy, wicked, arm strong. Arm is strong, arm cannot open. Arm cannot open to give money. Although you are a Christian, Christ has come into your life, but still your arm is strong because you've not allowed Him into your arm to loosen your arm. Yes. Your arm is like POP. Are you listening to me this morning? Yes. So what God is trying to do here is saying, is any happy? Is any merry? Let him celebrate like this. Is any sick? Let him do this. Is any sick? Let him behave like this. Whatever the condition, God has some instructions for you. Hallelujah. Now, we are studying a Christian who wants to make merry, who wants to be happy. What must a Christian do if he or she wants to be happy? I once heard somebody who was campaigning for some kind of election saying all people are going to have their chicken. That's when he wins. They're going to have their chicken, their booze, and their girls. All right. So he was trying to describe a type of celebration that would happen when he wins the election, and all Ghanaians would have chicken, they would have booze, and they would have girls. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Now, perhaps that is the way unbelievers celebrate. All right. So today I want to teach you how to make merry, how to celebrate as a Christian. When you become a Christian and you want to be happy, what are you supposed to do? Do you do things the way unbelievers do them? Do you start boozing the way unbelievers booze? What do you do? All right, now I'm going to give you, there are some things which we don't know so clearly about, because they are not written in the Bible in that way, but they are implied through certain principles and certain scriptures. So I'm going to give you four principles, four scriptures, and by those scriptures, you can decide whether something is right or not. Is it right to boost? You want to be happy, is it right to smooch all night long? Is it right to you are happy tonight? Is it all right to turn off the lights and do certain things? Is it all right to smoke? The whole house is smelling. And you are smelling. When you are coming, we can smell you. Is it all right to be high? In Arabadosta, Zion train is coming our way.
The church is wonderful.
Is it all right to be high?
You see, they know this song, but they don't know when you are singing the worship song. They don't know. They will be chewing granules. But this one, they know it. All right.
I'm going to give you scriptures. And then by those scriptures, you can decide for yourself whether something is right or is not right. All right? Now, number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to give you four scriptures. You just decide to use those scriptures as a guide. Verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. All right, we'll read from verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All right, so principle number one is that your body is the temple of God. All right, so if you defile the temple, hallelujah, then God will destroy you. You are the temple of God. All right, you are the temple of God. Verse number two, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just going in the order. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. And please underline these verses in your Bible. It says, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. That's an old word, which means helpful. In other words, all things do not build you up as a Christian. Hallelujah. And then number three, chapter 10 again, verse number 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Hallelujah. That is the third scripture that you must apply to anything you want to do. Apply these scriptures and you will know whether you should do it. You will know whether it is right to do these things or not. And finally, turn to Colossians chapter 3 and we read verse 17 and it says, and whatsoever ye do, are you turning to Colossians 3? These are the four scriptures which give us an important principles to guide us in our daily lives. What we are going to do, this party we are going to have, this type of wedding reception, this type of atmosphere, is it right? Should I have it? Should I do it? Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Giving thanks. All right? So these four scriptures are the ruler, the four rulers, if you like, that we are going to use to measure our activities and see whether indeed we can do those things. Amen. So from today, If you are a Christian, and listen carefully, everybody, because in today's charismatic world, we cannot see the difference often between Christians and unbelievers.
That's right.
We don't know whether you are a Christian sometimes or an unbeliever. But these four scriptures can guide you so that you behave and conduct yourself the way a believer should. Now, I don't know if there was smoking in the days of the Bible, but smoking is not written in the Bible. So now let's say we want to celebrate. So we go and buy a pack of cigarettes and we come to smoke. Now, apply these scriptures. Which scripture would you use? Apply all of them. Do all what the last one we read. Whatsoever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Can you take cigarette in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. Giving thanks to God. Thank you, Father, for this. First Corinthians 10 verse 31. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Is it to the glory of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, if your body is the temple of God, if you defile the temple of God, God will destroy it. If you destroy the temple of God, God will destroy you. So as you smoke, you are killing yourself. Smoking is one of the killers of the modern world. Nowadays, in many places, smoking is banned. It's unfortunate sometimes in the developing world that it will take us a long time to learn what some people have already learned. Nowadays, when they advertise cigarettes and so on in certain countries, they write very clearly. Some time ago, they would just write, the Surgeon General warns that smoking could affect your health or can affect. But now they don't write it like that. They just write a big warning. Smoking causes cancer. Straight, direct. You are taking cancer as you smoke. All right, and in fact, it's banned. Advertising of cigarettes and so on is banned in so many places. Yeah. Are you listening to me? So what, these things, you don't need any doctor to come up and tell you before you realize that it's wrong. Amen. It's not going to help you. It is right in the word of God. If you defile your temple, God will destroy you. And God does destroy. Praise the Lord. So whatever you want to do, ask yourself. Now you are happy. You want to have some Guinness. Or you want to have some beer there and 1 o'clock. Or you want to have some what? Bossue. And so on. Ask yourself, should I? Is it right? Now let's apply. Let's apply these four scriptures. Number one, if you destroy the temple, God will destroy you. Does alcohol destroy your body? Alcohol destroys more than your body. It destroys marriages. It destroys homes. It starts quarrels. It brings poverty. It kills people. I know somebody who was killed by a drunk driver. She was standing by the roadside and a car just came and he was negotiating a cab and he just came and cleared whatever was on the side of the road. My friend. And she was killed instantly by a drunk driver. And he just went off. So alcohol has killed more people, started more quarrels, started more wars, destroyed more homes, caused more poverty. When I was in school, my chemical pathology lecturer, he said to me that alcohol is the devil in solution. Dissolved demons. This is what he said. I always remember that, you know. He was a professor from Nigeria, and he said, it's demons. Did you have the same lecturer? He said, it's demons in solution. They are dissolved. You are drinking them. Yeah. And you ask yourself, can you do it to the glory of God? What about if you came and you saw me one day and said, oh, well, Pastor, but the Bible says you can take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And then, Pastor, are you sure that you shouldn't drink? I mean, at least on occasions, there are certain things that are allowed, especially if it's like our wedding or something like that is happening. We can be allowed to, you know, have certain drops at certain times and so on. How would you like it if you came and you saw me? That's the bishop. Oh, yeah, I've had it. Was an occasion, somebody's wedding reception. And I went and now I'm a bit boozy. Still, how would you feel if you saw me coming to visit you? Still, I'm drunk.
Not
Okay. Music. You go, you play certain music. Is it right for Christians to play all kinds of music? Yes, certainly not. Certainly not. I went to one wedding, they were playing Killing Me Softly. Christians, you are playing killing me, killing you softly. Goodness gracious, what is killing you softly? And you say charismatic Christian, you can't see the difference between the Christian. The Bible said, do we drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils at the same time? Music is inspired. Most music is inspired. It's either inspired by God or inspired by the devil. One time they played a certain cassette, you know, for me. There was this guy who was talking about music, and he played, he said, there are certain things you don't know the meaning as they sing. And he played this song. And as they played the song, you didn't understand. Just like there are many songs, we don't understand what when they're singing. And as they played the song, the words of the song were, Natasi dog, Natasi dog, Natasi dog, Natasi dog. Ah, what is Natasi dog? So he played it backwards. You know, when you play Natasi dog, it is Satan, Natas is God. Yeah, so, but they were playing, when you hear the sound, Natasi dog, Natasi dog. But it was the opposite, and they just turned the words around. They said, Satan is God. And you see Christians, yeah, they're not booking. You don't know what you are singing to. You don't know what you are dancing to. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Music brings an atmosphere. Yeah. Music inspires things to be done. Music stirs up people. People get moved by music. People get motivated, and they become charged to do certain things by music. It's a fact. It's a reality. And so as Christians, we must know that there is a difference. So you ask yourself, if you are singing certain songs, you see, I'm so outdated because I don't even know what they are singing now. The ones that I remember, you know, say, she's fresh, she's fresh. She's exciting. What is that? Can you imagine if I came to a sister, I saw a sister and I said, she's fresh, she's fresh. She's exciting. Wow. What is that? Is it to the glory of God? Reverend Saki, is it not some way? I've seen a sister here and I said, she's fresh, exciting. Is it not some, would you, if I came to you and I told you, Charlie, you are fresh, you are exciting, you are exciting. And you see the Christians dancing. And you are on fire like fire as you are smooching. If you want to smooch, smooch your wife. Oh yeah, I can smooch. I smooch my wife to the glory of God. I can do it in the name of Jesus. Why are you people laughing? To the glory of God. I can smooch my wife, and as I'm smooching, I can say, Bondolo brondele beke da bandala brodolo bondele de bracalare. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Giving thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful girl. Thank you for a beautiful wife. Mandrobo si pala bandala brede. Suprofacalele bredolo. Oh yeah, to the glory of God. But if you are smooching somebody who is not your wife, you'll be saying, oh God, forgive me for what I'm doing. Forgive me for what I'm doing. Forgive me for what I'm doing. Amen. So I'm giving you this for anything that is going to have a party. A Christian is having a party and an unbeliever is spinning for you. An unbeliever is spinning, playing unbeliever music. Who are your friends? What is going on in the church? And you can't see the difference. Sometimes when you watch TV and you say, music for your dancing feet. You say, is that not my church member I can see on music for? Music for your dancing. Music for your Guinness dancing feet. You see her there dancing like that, shaking all the fire. When she comes to church, then she behaves like a diplomat from America. When they are clapping, she'll do a hand like this. Very stiff. But you should see them all. You should see them on the music for your dancing feet. Different styles. Shaking, fat, moving. But when they come to church, glory to God. And so, then it's time to stand. Then they just look at the people who are moving around. And so, it's like they are children. They are children who are just fooling around. Let me show you, music and dancing is part of Christian rejoicing. When the prodigal son came home, the father made a party. The father represents God. And the father made a party for his son who had returned home. And the Bible said the elder son was in the field. And when he was coming, the Bible says, and in Luke 15 verse 25, the Bible says, and he heard the sound of music and dancing.
Hallelujah.
In the father's house. There is real music and there's real dancing. So how should a Christian dance? Can we dance any dance? Apply these four rules. Is it to the glory of God? Can you do it giving thanks to God? Can you do it in the name of Jesus? Is it destroying your body? Whatever you can do to the glory of God in the name of Jesus, you are free. Giving thanks, you can do it. Hallelujah. That is the rule. But there are some people who say Christians cannot dance bump. They cannot dance this. They cannot dance reggae. They cannot dance whatever the style is. If you can dance to the glory of God, then you can dance. You have a free conscience. Hallelujah. Now let me give you four steps to biblical merrymaking. If you really want to make merry in a biblical way, just our time is up, but I just want to give you these points because next week we are not going to come. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you see a woman whom God blessed. God blessed her. She had a child. She had prayed for a child. Asked God, give me a child. Give me a baby, Lord. And God gave her a baby. And let's look at how she celebrated and what she did. And those are the four steps that you need to take if you want to celebrate as a Christian. Number one. Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord blessed Hannah. And she had a child. All right. And wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. All right? And they went up to offer to the Lord. All right? And verse 24. And when she had weaned him, that means when she had taken him off the breast and off the breast milk. Are you listening to me? She took him up with her with three bullocks, three cows, and one ephah of flour, and so on. And they slew a bullock in verse 25 and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition. Therefore also, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly, and it goes on and on and on and on. Amen. But I want you to see four steps that Hannah took. And this is the steps that a Christian must take. Number one, she kept her promise. There are many people who have prayed to God and said, Lord, give me this and I will serve you. Do this for me and I will do this. Bless me, Lord, my business. Help me to marry and I will serve you. Give me a child and I will do what you want me to do. Hannah kept her promise to God in the day that God blessed her. So if you want to make merry in a biblical, godly way, you must decide to keep your promises to God. If you said, God, I will serve you. God, I will obey you. God, I will be in the ministry. God, I will do what you want me to do. God, I will pay my tithe. Then when God blesses you, the first step is to keep your promises and keep the vows that you made to God.
Hallelujah.
Number two, she went to church. In verse 24, the Bible says she gathered herself together and she went unto the house of the Lord. If God blesses you, the next step is to gather yourself and go to the house of the Lord to give thanks to God. If you want to make merry in the Lord, you must gather yourself together like Hannah did and come to the house of the Lord. Step number three, she gave a special offering. The Bible says, and she slew a bullock in verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. You must take an offering and say, Lord, I'm bringing this offering to you. to say thank you for all the great things you have done for me. Because when you want to say thank you, you must say thank you in a way that as you are saying it, you know that it even costs you something to say thank you, because you value what the Lord has done for you. And the fourth step, she sang a song. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as. And she sang a Christian song. She didn't sing, she's fresh. She's exciting. She didn't sing, all night long. She sang, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock beside our God. There is none holy as the Lord. She sang a Christian song. And I see you singing Christian songs. You know what? God wants to teach you how to make merry, because he's going to bless you in this life. I said, God is going to give you many, before this year ends, many people are going to experience supernatural breakthroughs that you have never imagined before. And God is preparing you to how to make merry in the day when he puts a song in your mouth and he gives you an answer to something you have waited for and you have prayed for years. Amen. In that day, you must be like Anna. The Bible says, any Mary, let him sing sound. When God gives you a husband, come to the church. Don't lie in your house with your husband. When your husband says, should we go to church today? And you say, let's rest today. I think today we are a bit tired. Last Easter Sunday, it was late. So let's rest today. Hannah said, let's go. We are going to church. We are going to church. Let's go. I remember this child. I prayed. God has blessed me. Let's go to church. Yes. And she said, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Hallelujah.
She kept her word. But there are people, when God blesses them. I remember one wife. God blessed her with a nice husband. She was so blessed. When it was time for all night, she said, we are tired. Let's sleep today. We are tired. And she slept. She slept. And then her husband also slept. And they kept sleeping at all nights until they began to have marital problems. Then she ran back to the church. I said, welcome back. She sang a Christian song. I said, she sang a Christian song. There are Christian songs and there are devil songs. I said, there are Christian songs and there are devil songs. From today, if there are any tapes, CDs, whatnots in your house that are not Christian songs, burn them. Destroy them. Have only Christian. Bible says, can you drink the cup of God and the cup of devils at the same time? Can you sit at the table of the Lord and at the table of devils at the same time? No. It's time to declare, where do you belong? Which side are you on? Whom will you serve? Either you serve the Lord or you serve the devil. Stand clearly. Let us know your stand. God wants people who say, come out from among them. Be separate. And I will bless you and I will be with you. I will establish you. I will take you forward. And I will let you see great and mighty things, says the Lord. Lift your hand and begin to thank the Lord, for there's none holy as the Lord today. Bless his holy name.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.